It's almost like picking the characters for a movie. You know, you want to pick the best of the best.
I want to create solutions which help people.
Be this person I want to be in the future. I have to follow this path.
Seeing their lifestyle, you know, the type of lifestyle that I want.
Africa's bank accounts, paint your dreams.
Welcome to today's episode. Today I'm joined by Kende, an animator who works at Utopia, a animation media agency. How are you, Kende?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. How's your side? How's Zambia treating you?
Zambia is cold right now, but Zambia's treating me well. It's treating all the artists well, or getting there, but you know, we're trying.
Same, yeah, same, man. Zim, I'm glad it's treating you guys well. So, Kende, can you just tell us about yourself? Who is Kende? What do you do? What are your interests? What do you do just for fun?
My name is Kende. Full name is actually Akende. So yeah, I'm based in South Africa, then moved to Zambia in 2011. Right now, I am the creative director and founder of Utopia Studios, an animation agency in Lusaka, Zambia. What do I do for fun? Other than drawing, I actually took up boxing because, you know, sitting at your desk for like 12 to 13 hours a day really puts a toll on your health. So I tried to pick up something new to like get my body going. So I took up boxing. I do not like long walks on the beach, if that's something that you would like to know. Contrary to popular belief, I don't watch that much anime. I prefer to read manga and read books and watch movies.
Thank you for the love introduction. I think we got your view. Surprisingly, you don't like long walks on the beach. It's something which is very rare, but I totally understand. So, Kende, can you just tell us about your background, how you grew up? You said you were in South Africa, then moved to Zambia. Can you just tell us how it was growing up in life, what challenges you faced, and maybe tell us how eventually you went to creating Utopia?
All right, so let's start out in the beginning. So I was born in 1990. I'm just joking. I'm not going to do that to you. So I was born in Cape Town, South Africa. Much of that is really fog in my memory. But let me just move to the time where we moved into Johannesburg. I wasn't always the art kid because I was just someone who liked to search for something to do. You know, I'm someone who likes to look for things that interest me. That's why, you know, people sort of find it hard to like get their talent or discover their talent. For me, it was really a lot of trial and error. I did so many things, from music to poetry to acting to sports, many things. But then there was one time when I was 12 years old in grade 7. I remember this so vividly in my head. I actually got into animation by accident. Because there was this whole career day that was happening at my school where we had to go out, career week, and we had to go out, find mentors for a job that we wanted in the future. And I was the most laziest student in the world. Please do not look at me as a mentor. I'm the most laziest student in the world. And I had to, and I think I was like 2 months behind everybody else for this entire project. And it was crazy because when the head teacher came in, shouted at me for not having a mentor, she took me in her office and surprisingly, she called her daughter's boyfriend. Yes, she called her daughter's boyfriend, who was an animator. I did not know what that was. I absolutely only knew SpongeBob and Stickman animation. Yeah, so I ended like a sort of mentorship with my principal's daughter's boyfriend. Both of the experiences gave me a great career in animation. So my head to art as a career even more. And being a Black African with African parents, sure, it's a bit contentious now that I'm 25 years old. But, you know, if it works, it works. You get me? So, yeah, that's up to now. I would say that building my career towards animation has been a ride because I did stop art for about 8 years. I stopped from age 13 to about 18. I was in my third year of university, and I got struck by figurative lightning. And I realized I didn't want to do computer science for the rest of my life. I wanted to be at work happy. I wanted to do something that I loved. And I knew the thing that I loved before, which was animation. So within the pandemic, when everybody was locked in their houses, when everybody was in their man cave and everything, I decided studying. It was practicing science. And then I studied art. And when I say study, I mean study, like study, study. Study, study, study. And yeah, it turned me into a animation filmmaker with two short films under my belt, 5 music videos, 12 animated short story times, and that's my career up to date.
That's a lovely career, especially like you said, it was something that you might not have planned to do, but you just stumbled upon it, like the whole entire, your principal calling you, getting involved with this. So my question is, have you always been someone who was good at drawing or animating, or was something like a skill you acquired over time?
I would say that I was always good at drawing. That's something that I would say was my innate talent. It's something that was really just in me at the time, and I did it effortlessly, even as a child, because there were times when the school would have like drawing competitions and like everybody would like try something, and then I would just draw casually for it, and I would end up winning. And it wasn't like a stroke of good luck. It happened like 3 times, you know. And that's not to gloat. It's just something that happened. So it pushed me in a direction. I said, no, this is what you're good at. You should keep doing that. You're like, if you are a fast runner, and you are clocking the 100 meters, beating everyone first place, you know, you might as well put your heart in that and try to go to the Olympics. You might as well become a national runner, you know, if you're that good, if you can beat everybody else out in the school. So that was the general way I thought about art. It was a talent. It's something that I never thought of developing as a child, but it's something that gave me a standing, you know. And with animation, before I did the whole mentorship, my brother always used to do stickman animation, pivot stickman animation. And in the early days of YouTube, I don't know if you are there in the golden age, the bronze age of YouTube, where like there wasn't much stuff to watch, but there were all these stickman fights and stickman what's that were there. And I was like, that's cool, I want to make that stuff. And my brother would experiment in making like stickman move and everything. And I was just like, oh, that's really cool. But then for me, it was different. You know, whereas my brother would make these scenes of, you know, characters, walking characters, like doing some nice punching kicks and like running and everything. For me, it was really different. You know, I've always been someone who liked cinema, someone who's liked movies. And even as a child, I think it was really there. Because when it came to stickman animation, I didn't mean just the walk, the run, the punch, the fight. A little bit more story. I would do close-ups on their faces. But I would close up on their faces. I would like do some elaborate tricks. I would hold I was about to say camera, but like I would like hold interact with each other, even though there's no voice, because hey, you're making me go down memory lane now. It translated into more, because I was also a drama kid. I was in like the drama. I had these like private drama sessions because I used to like have heavy anxiety, great anxiety. But then like once I joined the drama club, I became a performance artist, so I was able to perform on stage, give monologues, be on like acting shows and plays and whatever, pantomime. And that gave me a lot of understanding of acting, of directing, and with the animation, now I was like I was more attuned to character and story, you know. So I think over the years, it's something that has just been giving me small building blocks to become the person that I am today. And that's something that I don't take for granted, because I've been in spaces where I wouldn't have learned this if it was today. I wouldn't have been in a drama class. I wouldn't have been, you know, I wouldn't have been exposed to animation mentors. I would just be anybody else. So a lot of this was just opportunity and luck. The things that shaped me were opportunity and luck. But then up until recently, it's a lot of hard work that you now have to build onto that foundation of opportunity and luck, you know.
That's a lovely come up. That's really lovely. It was through a lot of things. Like you said, your art was always something that was easy to you. And you end up getting into opportunities like this way. You got to sharpen your skills, especially like you talked about drama, acting, and all of that. For me personally, I believe that luck is opportunity meets preparation. As you said, all of these things were preparing you to get into this field. And when the opportunity came, you became this, what people would say, overnight success. You know, things just maybe came a bit easier to you and yes, getting things done. So now we go to the meat of the episode today. Yeah. It's Utopia. Utopia, what is Utopia? How was that idea brought into visualization? You know, everything always starts off as an idea, but how did you then take that idea into what it is today?
All right. So Utopia, that's my baby. That's my brainchild. Yeah. So Utopia, that's my baby. Like I grew up from a small following from my YouTube channel called Candace Interlude, where I told short stories about my life. And there I got my first music video deal with a fake Zambian rap group. And they gave me this opportunity to grow, you know, because I'm someone who looks at each opportunity. People always want like a bulk at money. For me, in the early stages of an artistic career, you never want to always look at the money. Look at the opportunity and what can give you. Of course, to make your money making art. Yes, I mean, come on, you need to pay your bills. But when it comes to you rising up in an industry that doesn't exist, you always need to learn how to sacrifice things. So when it came to making the music video for the fake, I knew that I had to work at a low price. And from there, we've had a great relationship. They've paid my full price for the music video. We've made skits together that they have paid for. They've been one of my most greatest clients. And from there, it became something of, what year is it? 2023. That was in 2021. Now in 2022, when it began, I always like, in the beginning of the year, I like to set out goals and say, I want to do this, this, and this, and this. So in 2022, I was like, I'm going to make a movie. I'm going to make a short movie just so I can flex how good of an animator I am, how good of an artist I am. That's the cocky guy in me that was speaking. But I knew I couldn't do it alone, because the thing about animation is that it's a group effort, all right? It's a group effort, and I didn't know many other animators in Zambia, per se, that would just take this up, and people who had the dedication. But then there was one art who I did follow on Instagram. Her name is Tabitha Mwale Tabs from Tab Production Studios. Currently, it's Tab Production Studios Limited. And so I hit up and I'm just like, yo, this is the first time we ever talked. I'm like, yo, I heard you're an anime senior, blah, blah, blah. Would you like to collaborate and make an animated film, a short animated pilot to just like boost our careers, put something in our portfolios as artists? I was just like, yeah, sure, let's do this. 6 months after that, the world of animation blew up in Zambia, and Tabs and I we pioneered the Zambian anime industry, not the animation industry, because that already happened, but we pioneered the Zambian anime industry by having Zambia's first anime called The Super. It's on YouTube. You can check it out. Tabs is the Tab Production Studios YouTube channel. And From there, we saw what we could do. We saw the international connections that we could get just from doing that, the attention, all those radio interviews, television interviews. It was almost like you'd think that everything in the world has been discovered because it's the 2000s, like everything has been discovered. But after we did that, it was almost like we're standing at the precipice, at the foundation of something that could be great. So after the Super launched on July 30th, in fact, the anniversary is in a couple of days. On July 30th, after that, we started moving with an air of seriousness because it stopped being about Tabs and I. It started being about an entire industry that has even evolved from the Zambian industry to an African animation industry, the new age of African animation. And from there, I told myself that I can't do what I did with the Super alone. I can't do that if I'm just working alone. And I've always looked up to creators like Stan Lee from Marvel or Disney or Walt Disney from the Disney company. So I told myself, let me start on my own company and I was thinking about this for months, because when you name something, it has to mean something, you know, it has to mean something. Names have meaning. And I called my studio, it comes from the word utopia, which literally translates to nowhere, the place of nowhere. And then the bia comes from the word phobia, which is just fear. So then utopia literally means the place where fear doesn't exist. Because a lot of African artists are afraid to be artists. They're afraid because they don't know how to make a sustainable career from art. They don't know how to conduct themselves in art and live life as an artist. And that's something that I don't want anymore. I want Africans to be safe. Before it was Zambia, not just Africans in total. But Africans to be safe and have careers of art, because that's what you truly want to do. Or rather, someone who has a dream, the best thing that can ever happen to someone is letting their dream die. Because if you let your dream die, you let your soul die. And therefore, how are you supposed to live your life with a smile on your face if you're not doing the thing that you love? Sure, you can trudge through life. You can go to that 9-to-5 job Monday to Friday. You can drink on Friday, drink on Saturday, go to church Sunday, barely love your wife, have a couple of kids. And yeah, you can do that. But it's better to live your life doing something that you love. Whether that's you loving to be an artist, whether that's you loving to be a banker, whether that's you loving to be a scientist, just do what you love. So that's what Utopia is. It's a place for artists to come do what they love and make a sustainable career from it. That's the goal of Utopia. And that's what I'm trying. That's what I'm going to achieve within this wonderful organization.
Wow, that is beautiful. That is beautiful, especially the way you ended it. It's something that you are doing. It's not something that you're trying to do. It's something that you're already doing. The journey is there. You talked about everything. It's your first collaborations, how basically you took a chance on each other. You and Tabs took a chance on each other and you created something amazing. And you started a winter revolution about these things, about especially anime-based, African-based anime. And on that situation now, here comes the funny part. You say that you actually do not watch anime that much. And you mostly you're actually a manga person instead. So, you know, you said animation had blown up in Zambia in the 6 months. Then what made you guys like, no, let's do the anime way? What made you guys get into anime instead? Like, okay, why don't you make a anime type of animation instead of just the normal traditional animation? What made you guys love anime to the extent that you're like, let's make things in anime?
All right, so let me rephrase. Not that I don't watch animation. I'm just saying that it's not on my priority list. Like, if you were to write down a list of things to do as downtime, it's probably number 4 with a movie at the top. a book in that second. Third is going to be a television series, because to be honest, I just myself in television series. The guys think it's too long. Then at the fourth, it's going to be anime. Yes, anime. Anime is there. It's literally not because it's bad. I just really like other things. Also, I think there's a lot of saturation media as a whole, not just in animation and anime. And it's also just takes too much time. It takes too much time to find a good anime unless you're just watching all the popular things. So why I read manga is because manga gets to the point faster reading it. You're not bogged down by walking, you're not bogged down by music, outros, all that stuff. So I prefer manga. So that's me and my defense. Now going back to why we chose anime and not the traditional animation style is because I think people just genuinely, if you were to say cartoons or anime, there's something wrong there, you know? People would rather watch a cartoon. Because cartoons are associated with childish things. And that's not to say that they're childish, because, I mean, you get adult cartoons like Boondocks, you get adult cartoons. Yes, Boondocks is not an anime, it's a cartoon. American Dad, Simpsons, South Park, all those are cartoons. The animated cartoons. But the thing is, we knew what the word anime does to people. We like anime as a medium too. Appreciation of Japanese culture. So we just knew that here we have to do anime. We're not going to do a cartoon because people make cartoons and sure, they're great, but that's not what we want to do. We want to do something different. You know, because this is a medium that we've been practicing, so let's do something that changes the narrative of art. And it happened, you know. Anime is a thing in Zambia. And it's doing wonders. So that's to answer your question.
I don't think you'd have said it any other way. Animation, there's nothing wrong with cartoons. It's just that you guys thought of something different, like especially in today's times where a lot of animated things, especially just cartoons, people don't really associate them. People are saying it's getting boring, it's getting plain. Then more people are turning to anime because there's that power of anime. Expect good visuals, good storytelling. It's just amazing.
Exactly.
So now we come to the big one. The big one, your current piece, which I saw, which has been being advertised the most, Bushido, The Way of the Warrior. Can you tell us just tell us Bushido, The Way of the Warrior. What is it exactly? I saw it. I saw the short film. Amazing. The voice acting, amazing. The action, amazing. The art style is also amazing. The whole entire thing is short, but you it leaves you with a sense of wanting more after that. You know, it's just like, I was like, I need more of this. I need to see how, where you are going, how it concludes, what is going on. So can you just tell us more about it?
Yeah, so Bushido, The Way of the Warrior. That was sponsored by MMA Zambia, Mixed Martial Arts Zambia, for their Fist of Valor fighting event that happened in Lusaka on the 13th of May. Oh, where do I begin? So after the Super, one of the things you would always want to hope for after you do something like that is for more. You know, you'd always want more, because like once you do it once, you want to do it again. So, but making animated films is a big undertaking. One, because it takes money, it takes time. If you want to finish it quickly, then you do it with a lot of people. If you want to finish it over a long period of time, but may risk quality, do it alone. Now, luckily, I didn't have to do any of that. Because MMA Zambia, a wonderful man called Benjamin Bush, the head coach of the National MMA Fighting League, he called me personally. In fact, he was looking for me. He didn't just call me, he was looking for me. He tried finding me on Instagram. He tried finding me on Facebook. He tried finding me wherever I was. And he called me, hit me up. He's just like, you're one hard man to find. And we need something from you for our boxing event. And that, like, yo, here, I'm going to snap. I'm going to have the time of my life. So we got to talking with MMA Zambia. They wanted a short animated film about Yasuke, the Black Samurai. And for, just then, you said Black Samurai. I'm like, I'm straight. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm definitely going to jump on this. And they said it's going to be on TV. You know, we'll have a big event. And my and like, I told me, this is what Utopia was built for, to do things like this. So I definitely took it. I definitely took it. And one thing that I really love about MMA Zambia is that with art, especially with a medium that is extremely new, you always have to be, you have to have an open mind. And the wonderful people at MMA Zambia, they did. Not only that, but they also gave me creative freedom to do whatever I wanted. They weren't looking over my shoulder. They weren't policing me. They had their producer rights, obviously, to say that what had to be in it. And I had no issue with that because it's their project. I'm just the guy who's drawing, you know? So they gave me the brief, what they wanted, what they were thinking of doing with it. I went back. And then I did the one thing that I've always wanted to do. I hired artists to draw. And I felt so good. I felt so good because I was giving people money to do the thing that they loved. And right then and there, I figured out another thing about my career. I love to manage productions. I love giving people the space to be creative. So here, because in the super, it was just me and Tabs drawing. It's just us, two friends. But then when it came to Bushido, I hired, how many artists did I hire? Going by the credits, I hired three? Yeah, I hired three artists. My partner for Utopia, Jackson Masanga, he was the sound engineer for the movie. And we did so much magic, man. So much magic was happening. From the character design, I have a wonderful apprentice named Sam Chieso. He did the character design and the cleanup animation. Mukos was one of the animators, and Zeno from Tab Production Studios. I freelanced him over to my side for a bit. And we made a 7-minute animated project. And the thing is, one important thing is that these guys asked for 5 minutes of an animation movie. We were animating this, and once we clocked 5 minutes, we're like, no, let's increase. And we increased it to 6. We're like, no, let's increase to the 6 minutes, 30 seconds. And then we pushed it again. And we didn't even charge them. Why? Because we were enjoying what we're doing, and we knew what this thing was going to be. Along with the super, this is going to be the second animated film in Zambia, short animated film in Zambia. So we had to put in that extra work for it. Wrote it, animated on it, directed it, background art. And I don't want to say that I was a full house on it, because with the other guys, they supplemented me where I couldn't perform well. Because yeah, I've got full range skills to be a frontline animator, a background painter, and I can voice act, but I just prefer not to, because I don't feel like you should have so many roles on a production. But with this one, it was great working with those guys. And also, I see the only voices of Noda and Terrible. The demon, the ghost. Like, one of the things that I really love about that is that he knew how to follow with what I wanted. You know, I'm a very hands-on director, and in the voice acting session, it was so fun because I had a voice acting session. I had a job at the time, I had a day job. In the voice studio together, it helped me understand how to direct people within voice acting. It helped me understand that if a character there was a funny moment when, like, I'm saying, if you watch the animation, the moment where Yasuke gets stabbed, he gets stabbed, and he has this like heard voice. He's just like, Oda-sama, kiosukete! Like, it was so funny in the studio because Philip couldn't get the line right. And I was failing to explain it. And like, it got to this point where I got so like frustrated that I knelt down on my knees and I told Philip to like, also you hold on. And like, we were clutching our stomachs. We were like simulating what Yasuke was going through. The stab, the pain, the hurt, the shock. We're like on the ground, like just like, Oda-sama, kiosukete. It was this like funny experience. And I swear, Philip recorded that line whilst he was on the ground, holding his stomach, about to cry. Not that he was really crying, but like he was acting it out. He was bleeding out that performance at that time. And that's when I realized so many things about the experience of what it means to make this thing. And it was so brilliant. It was Bushido, brilliant. And even just to say, we made that in May. No, we made that in April. Came out in May. It's July now. We animate way better than that now. Right now, what I'm doing now, like, we can animate way better from fight scenes to what we've got. And yeah, there's definitely more coming. I wouldn't say that Bushido is going to continue. I don't think it's not going to continue, sadly, because it's just a short film. It was a short film for that event. And I know people want to see more, but it ends there. That doesn't mean Utopia isn't making more things. We've got With Godless, an action adventure project that we are developing. We've also got a secret project, which I can't talk about right now. Most likely will come out next year, but we have another short film that's going to be coming out in November. I can't speak on it yet until I get confirmation, rather permission to talk about it. But that is... We're going to be pre-production for that soon.
Lovely stuff. Lovely, lovely. Enjoyed the story so much, especially how the MMA guys came to you, offered you resources and so that you can take this idea into a reality. It was something amazing. Again, I recommend everyone watch the short film. Mm-hmm. It's truly amazing. The storyline, the arts, the voice acting. Now it actually makes sense. The voice acting was on par there. Then I just feel like you said... In your story, you were talking about how you enjoy, you know, more of the in charge role, you know, like giving people roles and more like, I wouldn't say like more of a directorial role or production manager role. So can you just tell us how that goes along, especially from picking the right people for the job, you know, putting them in the right places and getting the thing? Because I know in animation, there's a lot which is going on. You got your background artists, you got your frontline artists, you got the guys on sound, you got the guys on effects. So just tell us how it was like, you know, taking all those different people and coming together to produce that one project. How was it like?
All right, that's a brilliant question. I like it. So picking everyone who's going to be on a production, that's like the best role, because it's almost like picking the characters for a movie. You know, you want to pick the best of the best. And as someone who is the creative director of Utopia, I like to make things that are of a great quality, you know, to the point where it's become a thing. Like, I'm grateful for any job that comes and that wants to make animation, whether that be an advert, whether that be a short film, whether that be what, a music video, But there's one thing I'll never do, and that's I'll never half-ass my work. And I never want anyone on my team to half-ass anything either, you know? So when it came to making Bushido, it was... Sorry, I just moved the mic a bit. When it became to making Bushido, it was almost like I was picking people based off of their let's say, their strengths and weaknesses. Yeah, and experience. What they were good at. I knew exactly what I wanted. Like the Bushido movie, the one that you saw was exactly in my head before anybody ever saw it. It was what I wanted. Now when, so I knew who I needed for what, because I knew the skills of different animators in Zambia. Because one thing that people need to realize is how powerful your social media is in this day and age. If you're an artist and you have to show your work, whether that be you as an animator, painter, voice actors, in fact, always show yourself on social media. Showcase how good you are. Showcase what you can do. Because you can tell me that you can voice act. Sure. But if I can just scroll to your Instagram and then watch like a 30-second reel with you flexing how your voice can switch or how great your acting is, that can really turn my head and I'll instantly put you in my memory bank. And I'll be like, oh, let me even try out this person. Because let me tell you, with Philip, let me first start out with the acting. Philip, one thing that's important to me as a performance artist, I prefer, when picking my voice actors, I prefer if you're good at acting, not if you can switch voice. Anybody can switch their voice. People can switch their voices however they want to. It's not that hard. But one thing that's hard is acting. Conveying authentic that is currently not even real to you is hard to do. And that's what a lot of potential voice actors, people want to be voice actors, miss out. They think we're interested in how you can switch your voices into 12 different things. We're not interested in that. We're interested in how good you are at acting. So with Philip, I got the best of both worlds. He was a good actor and he could switch his voices. That's something that I wanted from him, you know? And that made me not pick many other people, you know? It made me look at Philip and be like, ah, Philip can be Yasuke. Ah, Philip can be Nobunaga. Ah, Philip can be the demon, the ghost. And he was, to the point where the producer, Benjamin, the guys from MMA Zambia, were like, oh, we didn't know that Philip was all, it was everything, you know? Because at some point, I thought I was going to have to be the ghost because I was going to have to give him a voice. But Philip just, gladly, he did it. So when it became to Philip, Philip had so much portfolio work on, not portfolio as in like he was an experienced actor, but he had so many videos of himself speaking on Instagram. That was like, yeah, I'm going to use that guy. That's all it took. That's all it took. And if you're confident enough, just go to the animator. Two students of mine. Students of animation. Sam Chiesu and another back. You have unfortunately because he had to but to talk about Sam Chiesu, I knew what Sam was good at. But I also knew what he was bad at. Sam couldn't animate what I wanted at the time, so I wasn't looking at, you know, but I knew he had a steady hand. He was someone who could clean up animation very good. Like if I did the base of it, he could draw on top of what I give him. So I was just like, okay, so Sam, you're gonna be a cleanup artist, and I'm gonna pair you with another guy, Zeno, who is a great rough artist. He understands motion, how to move people, all that stuff. But he can't clean up, you know? So I was just like, where Sammy drops, Zeno will pick up. Where Zeno can't lift, Sammy will get. Then moving on to Moko Tsubasa from Tsubasa Animation Studios, he was able to do everything that I wanted because he was already experienced. He was an experienced animator. So there were two juniors on there, Sam and Zeno, and then there were two seniors, Moko and I. So I gave Moko a 1 minute in the first fighting scene. Yasuke stormed the battlefield. He did that. He also did the bathing. He did the bathing scene. Then Zeno and the weeping. I did the boat. Then they also did the city of Honnoji. I think that's Honnoji. And then yeah, I would like come in. I do a part with that's highly detailed or something that's like something that needed a bit more detail because I'm very detail oriented when it comes to animation. So I picked Moko because he was the guy who would also give good advice when it was needed in an animation, you know. And to be honest, it wasn't actually needed because everyone was doing everything right. There were the short pitfalls here and there of people being unable to certain things, but that's obviously that's what happens when you work with juniors. That's what happens when you work with people who aren't experienced, but it gave us an experience. You should see how these guys animate now, prior to how they animated before. Because it was, to Zeno and Sam, it was their first big, in fact, also Moko, it was his first big project. Their first movie project, the first team effort project like this. And they saw how grueling it was. I'm built to work 13 hours a day. You know, it's something that I've just been doing for years, especially for drawing because I enjoy it. Throwing them through that, how can I say, furnace, it was probably hard for them, but they're better for it, you know. So they worked hard. They produced some of the best animation that I've seen in this country. And it was excellent what they did there. Moving on to Jackson Masanga, the sound engineer. I just knew that he's going to be my guy. Jackson was going to be my guy for making all the sound effects, running the sound, because I have bad ears. I can't lie to you. I've got ears that can't hear anything. So I'm not attuned to that stuff. He knew what he was doing, and he was able to pick up where I couldn't even perform. And it's not that I don't want to do sound. It's just that there's sometimes when you need to entrust things to other people, you know. Samuel, who did the character design, I can't design. Or before I couldn't design, now I study it so that I can do it. Sam provided me with some of the design. He did all the character design of every single Japanese person in that animation. He designed all the weaponry, he designed all the costumes, he designed the demon, he designed Yasuke. Yasuke's was actually blonde, which I don't know why Sam made that choice. Wow, that was horrible. But but anyway, he supplemented it with the black hair design, and and yeah, to say that we made a good team, we all really did make a good team. And it came out how we wanted it. I had reference points for everyone. I was like, okay, guys, here we're going to make something that's cinematic. We're going to make something that looks like Bleach. We're going to make something that's got energy. We're going to make it dark and gritty like the Drifters. We're going to do that. So it was a Drifters x Bleach. Drifters is an amazing anime that you need to watch, by the way. and bleach too. So like combine those and get with this. Everyone finished their work. So then I collected everybody's files, and now they say that directing only starts the editing room. That is 100% true. You only become a director in the editing room. Because here now you tweak everyone's work, create the vision. Now it's time to make it happen. I remember, I think I was editing it for those 4 days, 4 or 5 days, I was like, yeah, we've made something great. We've made something extremely great. And that was the first version. The first version, not people haven't seen it. The first version was exclusive to the MMA fighting event. And then the director's cut, which is the one which everybody has seen on YouTube, that is the second version that features the deer scene by the bridge. That scene, if you can't believe it, I think it like lasts 19 seconds. It took 1 day. I had to make that scene in 1 day. You know, I had to make it in 1 day, the night before airing. A night before airing, I had to make that scene because I was just like, there's no way that this thing can't have a final fight scene. Because in the original version, the fight scene was performed on a stage at the MMA event. So it was just flashing lights, which is why there's that warning in the beginning. I was just like, nah, there has to be something. There has to be something that we can be like, ah, this is anime. So we added that fight scene one day before airing, and it became the highlight. People enjoyed the fight scene. It was really good. It was really good. Well, personally for you, what was your favorite scene? Let me hear that from you.
So my favorite scene, I would say scenes, actually two. Is the first one is the batting scene. That is just a funny scene. They said I should scrub it off, and they did it, and they did it again, and they did it again. I'm like, whoa, okay. Then of course the fight scene. It was short, 19 seconds. It is short, like in terms of that, but when you're in the zone and you're watching the whole thing, it felt so long. The coloring, the flashing, you know that.
Yeah.
You can see all those anime traits in V. For me, I don't want to get any hate, but I'm the same as you. I don't watch anime that too deep. I've only watched a couple of few, and most of them, they don't have that much fight scenes, like, which are so intense, like using swordplay. It's mostly superpowered people, you know. The Hero Academia, the two schools, they were superpowered. But for me, martial arts standpoint was really amazing. The choreography was nice. I'm not really like specialized in it, but I could see that they are respecting it, especially like you're deriving it from another culture. There was some respect when you're making the fight scene. There's some things we all know, especially, of course, oh, he moved so fast. I didn't know it is. That was, it's always the funniest ones, of course. Like, I didn't even see him. Like, it's something almost every anime has at a point. Like, I didn't see him move. So that was really amazing. I really enjoyed that. Even the ending.
The part where like disappears behind him.
Yeah, that was the part. I was like, of course he's gonna have that one scene. Of course they're gonna have that one scene where the guy moves so fast and no one sees him move.
It has to happen once.
It was really amazing. I'm not gonna lie. I enjoyed myself. I've gone back to it a couple of times. Every time you notice things, of course, like you said, it's not, you guys are way better now than you were back in the day. Of course, they're there. You can see that you cannot do a lot of things also with the time frame you guys were given. So it's not a lot of things are animated, but it's just like the whole entire feeling of it, you know, from the walking into the house, from the shipwreck, all those small things, you know, it just makes you really appreciate, and especially that you can proudly say this is something that was made in Africa. And most people, when they see that, they're like, this is just someone from Japan who made this, and or some anime studio out there made a short to show the people. But a lot of people, I don't think they'll be able to tell that this is something just made from Africa. And that's the quality we like to see. Like, you know, it's something that you'd be shocked to hear the results about it. Like, oh, This is what it was made in Africa. Oh, I didn't think about that. So it was really amazing. I really enjoyed myself, and those were like two of my favorites. Yeah. So now, as we continue with the episode,
I really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. It's you who gave us this enjoyable show. So as we continue with the episode, I think we just want to ask, like, the future of animation in Africa. What do you see, especially recently with the release of Kizazi Moto, Generation Fire? I've seen a couple of episodes, amazing series. I recommend a lot of people to watch it. It's really nice. So what do you see the future of animation in Africa going? Are we heading in the right direction? What can we do to get there in the next couple of years?
Kizazi Moto, let me start there. Kizazi Moto, I'm a big fan of Disney. I'm a big fan of Disney. I'm a Disney fanatic. So seeing Africans work with Disney to make animated shows to now be in the Disney legacy is something that moved my heartstrings. I personally DM'd about like six people who worked on Kizazi Moto. And I was just thankful to them. I just said my gratitude to the producers for opening this door, because that's what it is. It's opening a door. It's to me and Tabs, right now, it's no longer the future of Zambian anime. It's not about the Zambian anime industry. It's not that anymore. It's about the new age of African animation, an entire continent, because that's what Kizazi Moto was. Animators from South Africa, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, from the countries that I'm aware of, at least, they performed to this degree of international. It was an international level animation anthology show. I was blown away seeing that. My favorite episode is Surf Sangoma. Yeah, Surf Sangoma. I even went to personally follow the director. Him and I traded nice words to each other. He now also follows Utopia. So maybe something could come out of that. I don't know. There's a great relationship that might bud from there. So I would say that the future of animation in Africa is going to be bright. It's going to be bright for several reasons. Why? Because the world is now looking to diversify content. That's what we're looking at now. People want more and more diversified content because that's how Japan's culture grew. You know, the Bruce Lee, China and Japan, Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan, all the anime, Dragon Ball Z, Naruto. Japanese and Chinese culture was pushed to the Western world through these. That's why you see all these samurais and samurai swords and ninjas in so much media, because in kung fu martial arts in media, because that's what made them popular. And for the past 5 years, ever since Black Panther happened, it's just been moving closer to Africa. Slowly, 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 America, Hollywood is now looking towards Africa as a hub for animation. And that's what's happening within our country, right? Within our continent right now. So it's only going to get better. The level of production that's increasing in our countries, it's just going to keep on getting better. And this new animation show, what's its name? Super Team 4, yes. Animated by Triggerfish Studios in South Africa, distributed by Netflix, written and created by Zambian, Malenga Mulendama. Yes. She has pioneered something even better than Tabs, not to undermine what Tabs and I did, but now working with Netflix, a Zambian working with Netflix, Africans working with Disney. Now it's an easy sentence to say because it happened. It's no longer a dream. Utopia's ability to provide jobs will soon be a reality. And that's what I'm most excited about. Because I do not want to die I don't want to die and leave the earth knowing that the kids aren't all right. I want to die leaving Utopia in creative, artistic hands that will continuously make movies 100 years after I'm gone. Because I don't want the industry to end when I die. I don't want the industry to end when Tab dies. You know? But now Africa is all moving together, collaborating worldwide to make animation. It's bright.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Kende. Thank you, thank you. So then the last question, our signature question on the podcast is just like, there's a young girl there, there's a young boy there who's also aspiring to be doing the things you guys are doing. What advice would you give them for them to pursue this animation route in Africa?
First of all, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Because like I've said before, I stopped drawing for 8 years. And as a Black African, you can guess why. Whether that be your friends telling you that art is not a career, whether that be your parents telling you that's not a career, whatever it may be, whatever is banging on your door, crashing through your window, screaming at you, do not stop. Just don't stop. Don't stop your art. It could be a reality where you can sit at home with your digital tablet, with your computer, and all you do is drawing these inanimate characters. You'll be able to converse with celebrities. You'll be able to be in spaces where you're going to movie premieres. You'll be able to have a life of just drawing. And I think I'll make that into a shirt, just drawing. I can't wait from where, and I'll make sure that I tag you. I'll make sure that I tag you. I can't wait until the time where I purchase a car just from drawing. And that reality is very close. Very close. So to the child who wants to be an animator, to the child that wants to be an artist, to the child that has a dream, believe in yourself, because the world against you. There'll be people who talk down to you. There'll be times when you feel alone. There'll be times when you feel that you have no strength for this anymore. It happens to the best of us. It happens to all of us. Just keep going. Keep going, putting the work. Because when you work hard, creates opportunity. And when you have hard work and opportunity, you create great things. And the funny thing is that when you work extremely hard and you have all these opportunities, people will call you lucky. But they don't know how hard you've put in to get what you want. Don't give up. Always believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. I think you have said it. Those few words right there. I think all we need to do is just believe in ourselves. A lot of people, like you said, will come at us saying that, oh, there's no possible career in whatever you're doing. But as long as you believe in yourself and you put that hard work, and when opportunities come, like you say, you don't just give a half job. You put in all your work. And you put your best, those opportunities will turn into what people call luck. So, Kende, thank you for being on the podcast. Can you just tell people where they can find you, your social medias, YouTube, your social medias, your team's social medias also, so they just everyone can just connect with everyone.
All right. Thank you for having me. My name is Akende Muyumbana, professionally known as Kende Muyumbana, the greatest anime in Africa of all time, creative director of Utopia Studios. You can find Utopia on every single platform. That is Threads, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Utopia CO. That is U-T-O-B-I-A-C-O, Utopia. Be cool. And you can find me personally, Kende Mubana, at Kende's Interlude. That's KENDESINTERLUDE. Kende's Interlude. Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Twitter, LinkedIn. If you are a business, if you want to hit us up, you can check out our YouTube channel with all our animated works, where we have Bushido, The Way of the Warrior, We the Godless, a manga series that's going to be an anime soon. We have two short films that are going to be coming out in the space of one. And please follow us for any opportunities that you would want, whether you are a voice actor, whether that you are a animator, another artist. Put yourself out there. Put yourself out there so we can see you, so we can give you an opportunity. Because we want the best of the best. We want to produce the best of the best. And we are going to be the best of the best. Thank you for having us on this wonderful podcast, man. We've had a great time. We shall see you soon.
What a way to exit the episode. And this, surprising, will be our first, I think, 1 hour episode. That will be the longest. A lot was said. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Kende. Thank you, Tobia Studios, for all your time and spare time to be on this podcast. We wish you all the best. Wish you more success. Wish you more collaborations. And of course, we'll always be sharing the word from about the studio and what you're planning to do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Make sure to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to. Also, make sure to follow us on Instagram, Africa's Blank Canvas Podcast, so you're always up to date with the latest news. Don't forget to share. That's the only way we grow.